हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो 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 हरे हरे। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 23। पुरुषो रामचरितम् श्रवणैः उपधारयन् आंश्रम्स्य परो राजन् कर्मबन्धैः विमुच्यते। पुरुषो रामचरितम् श्रवणैरुपधारयन् आंश्रम्स्य परो राजन् कर्मबन्धैर्विमुच्यते। पुरुषो रामचरितम् श्रवणैरुपधारयन् आंश्रंस्य परो राजन् कर्मबन्धैर्विमुच्यते। पुरुषो रामचरितम् श्रवणैरुपधारयन् आंश्रंस्य परो राजन् कर्मबन्धैर्विमुच्यते। माताजी पुरुषो एनी पर्सन रामचरितम द नरेशन कंसर्निंग द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड लॉर्ड रामचंद्र श्रवणैर बाय ओरल रिसेप्शन उपधारयन सिंपली बाय दिस प्रोसेस ऑफ हियरिंग Anshramsya paraha becomes completely free from envy. Rajan, O King Parikshit, karma bandhaihi, by the bondage of fruitive activities. Vimuchyate, one becomes liberated. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristic of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here in this material world, everyone is envious of someone else. Even in religious life, it is sometimes found that if one devotee has advanced in spiritual activities, other devotees are envious of him. Such envious devotees are not completely freed from the bondage of birth and death. As long as one is not completely free from the cause of the birth and death, one cannot enter the Sanatan Dham or the eternal pastimes of the Lord. One becomes envious because of being influenced by the designations of the body. But the liberated devotee has nothing to do with the body and therefore is completely on the transcendental platform. A devotee is never envious of anyone, even his enemy. Because the devotee knows that the Lord is the supreme protector, he thinks, what harm can the so-called enemy do? Thus a devotee is confident about his protection. The Lord says, Ye yathamam prapadyante tans tathaiva bhajamyaham. According to the proportion of one's surrender unto me, I respond accordingly. A devotee must therefore be completely free from envy, especially of other devotees. To envy other devotees is a great offense, a Vaishnava aparad. A devotee who constantly engages in hearing and chanting Shravan Kirtan is certainly freed from the disease of envy, and thus he becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna, ek announcement.
So this is a very interesting verse and purport describing about the importance of hearing about Lord Ram's pastimes. So, Prabhupada writes in this purport that in the material world everyone is envious of someone else. And even in religious life it is sometimes found if one devotee has advanced, other devotees are envious of him. So, this is a very major challenge in spiritual life to become free from the disease of envy. And we will see from the character of various personalities in Ramayana that how they acted so wonderfully in the service of the Lord, and they demonstrated what it really means to serve. As a disciple, as a devotee, we need to inculcate these qualities in our spiritual life. So first of all, I would like to thank Radhesham Prabhu and all the organizers of this Bhagavad Katha for very nicely arranging various aspects and publicizing and having so many people come for hearing this Katha. And although you have very limited space, but still somehow you manage to accommodate different sages in different forests, you know, on the right hand side and the left hand side, and it's quite interesting to see this. And also it's very important as part of your upcoming temple project to create new well-wishers and friends, and it has been a very wonderful effort on all of your, of the part of the organizers, and we would like to thank them. Hari Bol. So our Srinadji Prabhu is coming this evening and he's going to give a short talk also. So he's, one of his favorite points in Ramayana is that, you know, Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi is from Caucasia, from Russia. And he would always make this point that Kaikeyi was Russian. Kaikeyi was from, you know, near Moscow also. He knows the name of the place also. If you ask him in the evening, he'll give a short talk on that also. Which part of Russia, you know. So all of us know that Bharat Maharaj had gone to visit his uncle's house. And hey, this is a new feature, huh? Yesterday it was there? Yesterday it was there. I didn't notice. First day it was not there. First day it was not there, so, you know, the sages on this side had more difficulty. And here it was nice. So you can switch it on actually. So this is an interesting pastime of Bharat. So from the character of Bharat, we will learn the quality of tolerance. So I'll speak on basically these three characters, Bharat, Shatrughna and Lakshman, and what these three represent. So Bharat Maharaj had gone to visit his uncle's place, and it was during this time that Kaikeyi intrigued along with, in fact it was during this time that Dasharatha Maharaj decided to make Ram as the king. So now you can imagine that Ram and Bharat are quite well qualified, but still Dasharatha Maharaj took that liberty. And he felt that yes, Ram should be the king, he decided. And they started making all the arrangements also. So in one sense, in the democratic society which we are staying, it's very difficult to imagine how can someone take such a unilateral decision without consulting others. So Bharat was away, and there was every possibility that Dasharatha Maharaj's decision could be misunderstood. But Dasharatha Maharaj still went ahead and decided to install Ram as the king. And in fact, Ramayana describes that Dasharatha Maharaj called all his intimate associates and he asked for their opinion. He just told them that I am thinking that I will retire from being the king and I am thinking of making Ram as the king. And what do you think about this decision? And Dasharatha Maharaj expected that all of them will say, no, no, you know, you have been doing very well, we'll miss you, please don't leave so soon and you should continue on. And some consoling words, and then he thought I'll have to convince them to make Ram as the king and all. But as soon as Dasharatha Maharaj said, I'm thinking of making Ram as the king, everyone said, yeah, wonderful idea. We have been waiting this for a long time and it is high time you retired. And as soon as he heard that, Ramayana describes, he started having doubt, should I retire or not? So one thing which is not often mentioned about Dasharatha is his detachment. And he was pretty detached. Because he started feeling that I am useless. At that very point, when everyone started glorifying Ram and this decision, a big doubt came in his mind, what should I do now actually? So maybe I was too enthusiastic and made this decision too soon. But still, he went ahead with that decision. And therefore, from Dasharatha's point of view, he had no personal agenda when he decided to retire. And in fact, he gave that opportunity to Lord Ramachandra. So when Lord Ramachandra was approached, of course, as everyone knows about Mantra's intrigue, so Mantra plotted against Lord Ram, and in fact, even Mantra's all of these intrigue is part of the plan of the demigods. Because the demigods saw that Ram and Sita are very happy and they are peacefully and blissfully spending their time. And they thought that if this continues on, then what will happen to Ravana? So we have to stop this honeymoon sometime and somehow. And therefore, it was on the behest of the demigods that Mantra she decided to plot against Lord Ram, and that was part of the plan of the demigods. So this is a very important principle to understand, that the demigods, they had their difficulties, and they had approached the Lord in the milk ocean saying that we are having difficulties against Ravan. And the first thing Lord said was, if you have difficulties, then you have to be willing to perform some service also. Nothing comes free. So you have to assist me. So they said, okay, how should we assist you? So the Lord said, become monkeys. You know? And all of them were a little embarrassed. As monkeys? From being the demigods, we have to become monkeys? So, well, it is your problem. You decide whether you want to solve the problem or not. And if you have decided to come to me, you should better be willing to do some service. Don't just come expecting free solution. So the demigod said, okay, fine. If that is the price we have to pay for killing Ravan, then this is what we should do. So in one sense, even the demigods had to go through this austerity of being as monkeys for an extremely long period of time. And you can imagine that in future when they go back as demigods, there is a possibility that in demigod society they may be ridiculed, that he is ex-monkey. So like yesterday we used this term, Surasundaram. One of the terms God is being described as, is Krishna is Surasundaram. Surasundaram means one who is also glorified for his beauty in demigod society. So in the demigod society they are so beautiful that from demigod's point of view, they never consider human beings to be at all attractive or beautiful. So some of the most attractive human beings may consider themselves to be very, very attractive and very powerful. But from Krishna's point of view, it is nothing. And from demigod's point of view also, so Surasundaram, I say that, okay, demigods consider Krishna to be more beautiful than them. But human beings, they consider to be just, you know, like some kind of animals from their point of view. So here in human society, when someone is making fun of someone else, he gives them some animal names. If someone is called a pig or a dog, then someone feels offended, or a monkey. So nobody says, you are agile like a monkey. If you call someone agile like a monkey, he'll think it's some kind of insult. So like that in demigod society, when they ridicule each other, they call each other human being. Hey, mano, chup. So he becomes very much offended. Hey. They go to Indra with complaint. Hey, mano bula hai mujhe. He called me a human being. So that's considered to be like a major insult. So what to speak of someone having to go below the human species and accept the position of monkeys and bears and all of these kinds of animals. So you can imagine. But they were willing to perform all of this pastime, giving up their designations because they wanted to assist the Lord. Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishyo na shudro. So for propagating the Lord's mission and for assisting in the Lord's vision, one is willing to give up any of one's designation, even one's exalted designation as a demigod, and even take the position of insignificant monkey, like that. So anyway, our Bharat Maharaj, Ramchandra was sent to the forest, and when Ramchandra went to the forest, Bharat Maharaj came back, and he was informed that this is the position with your brother. And Kaikeyi thought that it is the greatest gift she can give to her son, and she has used her maximum intelligence for doing this. And as soon as Bharat Maharaj heard this, he was extremely agitated. And he became angry with Kaikeyi. He said, how can you do this? This is not good at all. And Kaikeyi said, but I thought that this will please you. But Bharat Maharaj said, for me, Lord Ram's service is the supreme. And anything which keeps me away from Lord Ram is like a big burden. So therefore, when we speak about Bharat Maharaj, then the whole concept of Bharat Maharaj is one who considered the opulence of Ayodhya to be like a burden. like a bhar. One who considers the opulence of Ayodhya to be bhar, burden, is Bharat. So practically everyone is so eager to get opulence, to get some power, to get some position. Right? And here, Bharat Maharaj was being offered the powerful seat of being the king of Ayodhya. Ayodhya means that which cannot be conquered over. Jo yuddh ke dwara jita na ja sake, Ayodhya. And Bharat Maharaj was offered that here, take this position. And it is practically irresistible for anyone in this world to give up the prospect of being the unrivaled king. And Bharat Maharaj says, no, I do not want this. I cannot be the king. And in fact, he started chastising Kaikeyi for doing this. So in the entire of Ramayana, we see that the only way we can establish relationships is when there is proper character and when there is proper development of qualities. And without that, there is no question of long-standing relationships. Therefore, Kali Yuga, we find that relationships are very fragile and prone to be broken because there is too much of false pride and self-centeredness. And as soon as something goes wrong, people want to give up everything. And the whole idea is I, me and mine. So the whole concept of selflessness is not understood. So Bharat Maharaj, he is being offered this kingdom by Kaikeyi. In fact, Bharat Maharaj also didn't have to plan anything. It's not that before going to his uncle's place, he had told Kaikeyi what to do. Given her all the plans, and then when he came back, then everything was executed. No, he just went. And by the time he came back, Kaikeyi had done this. So all he could have done was just say to Kaikeyi that, well, if that's your order, what can I do? You know, it is my mother's desire. It is her great desire, so I must follow this. As a humble service, I will accept this kingdom. No problem. Bharat Maharaj said, I cannot accept this kingdom. It is a bhar. It is a big load, big burden. And in fact, I must go and convince Lord Ram that he has to come back and become the king. And he just didn't say this. He actually went and did that. So we find that the reason why the conditioned soul finds all other prospects attractive is because he doesn't realize the power of devotional service. He doesn't realize what he's getting in return for devotional service. Like for example, if someone offers to give you 1 crore rupees and he calls you in the middle of the night to any place, he says, come to the Pune station at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then we'll give you this suitcase filled with 2 crores. How many will accept this? How many will accept this offer? That you come to the Pune station at 2 o'clock at night, right? And all our Sri Guru Charan Prabhu has a big smile on his face. As one of the organizers of fundraising, thinking that may these words come true, especially on the last day of the Bhagavad Katha. So if someone offers, even in the middle of the night, you are willing to get up and go. And if someone says, we are going to have a Bhagavatam class at 2 o'clock in the morning, so you will say, okay, no problem. I'll also be connecting at a different level, you know. Very difficult. So Prabhupada gives the example of burden of love. So burden of love means that you do not want something, still you accept it because there is love. And he gives the example of a mother who picks up a heavy child. So the child is very heavy, but still mother takes care of the child. The mother never says to the husband that this child is too heavy, we'll exchange for a lighter one. If the child is crying in the middle of the night and the father says, take care of the child, the mother doesn't say, this is night shift, not mine. I cannot be, if you have to take care, you have to give me overtime. And things of this sort, never thought of taking care of the child. Or Prabhupada gives the example of lifting a heavy burden. If you have a big heavy suitcase and you have to lift, and it is like, you know, 50 kilos of weight, and if someone tells you, lift this, you may think, oh, it's too heavy, I cannot lift. I've got back pain. I have a history of back pain. My father had back pain, his father had, and his father also had. All our family, they have back pain. So you say, there are gold biscuits inside this, and that's what is causing all the weight. Immediately, says, I'm ready actually. What about back pain? No, my father had actually. But since that time, things are better. Said, do you need help? No, I can do it on my own. So automatically, as soon as you hear what's inside, the mood changes. You're willing to lift. Why? Because you see what you're going to get in return for that. So when Bharat Maharaj went into the forest, so all the sages were misunderstanding him. And they said, Bharat Maharaj is coming with his big army. He is the one who intrigued and plotted. So he didn't do anything. Kaikeya did everything. Still everyone thought he is responsible. So he had to tolerate all that insult also. And he went inside. Lakshman was thinking that here Bharat has come with the whole army. He went on top of a tree and told Lord Ram, I am going to kill him. And Lord Ram said, you come down. You calm down your anger and you come down from the tree. And first try to understand why Bharat has come. So let us hear from Bharat. And then when Bharat expressed that he wants Lord Ram to go back and become the king, Bharat Maharaj, he was very much begging and pleading and crying. At that time, Lord Ram ordered him that you must go and become the king. So this is a service which Bharat Maharaj did not want. And he considered that this is like a big burden. But because Lord Ram ordered him, so he accepted. So this is the second aspect of Bharat, as one who is willing to take up any load if it is the Lord's desire. Without the Lord's will, he considers everything to be like a big burden. But for the Lord's pleasure, he is willing to accept any burden. That's Bharat. So therefore, many times when we are performing devotional service, we feel burdened by the service. And we think that this is too much service. And then we start thinking, why so much service is coming? And why this kind of service is coming? All of us prefer service according to our desire. And when certain services come which we don't prefer, we don't like, we think, this is too much of burden. And then we are told that why you are getting this service? Because you are chanting Hare Krishna. And Hare Krishna means, O divine energy of the Lord, Hare, O all attractive Krishna, please engage me in your service. So when the service comes, it is in response to our call. And when the service comes, we send it back. We send the service away and we do not perform the service properly. So naturally, Krishna doesn't take that call very seriously and therefore we lose taste in chanting. So therefore, chanting is not just like a unilateral thing that we keep calling. Now if you are calling someone on the cell phone and they are picking up on the other side and you cut off as soon as they call, then naturally you can't connect. So therefore, when we are speaking of service, then lot of responsibilities will come, but we have to be willing to accept that. So this is a very important principle here. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in one place that a devotee is willing to accept difficulties on behalf of Krishna as an expression of love. So this is Bharat Maharaj, and one of Prabhupada's disciples, Madhudvisha Prabhu, he was preaching in India and he was having a lot of difficulty, and he told Prabhupada that I don't want to preach here in India anymore. It's too much. It's too difficult. And I am fed up seeing only Indians everywhere. I want to go and preach to the white man. I want to go and preach to the Western people. I can't deal with Indians anymore. Prabhupada said, I am Indian. What about me? He said, no, you are Indian, but you are different. We are from spiritual world. I want to go to and preach to the Western people. So Prabhupada said, okay, come with me to Africa. So here he wanted to go to America, but because he said West, Prabhupada said, okay, let us go West, but Africa. So Prabhupada just didn't immediately give what he wanted. And he took with him on the flight. And on the flight, Prabhupada, they had prasad, and then they said, what should we do? So Prabhupada said, let's debate. That was Prabhupada's recreation. You know, debate, let's debate. One reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, were you interested in sports? He said, yes. What sport would you play? Prabhupada said, debating. So Prabhupada started debating. And he said, okay, you become atheist, I'll become devotee. So make your arguments. So he started arguing and gave so many atheistic arguments. And Prabhupada defeated left, right and center. And then Prabhupada said, okay, now you become devotee, I become atheist. And he thought, wow, I know all the arguments. Just now I have heard. And then Prabhupada started. And Prabhupada defeated him left, right and center as atheist. And he thought, my God, what's going on? And Prabhupada said, this is how expert you have to become in preaching. And I'm trying to train you personally so that you can go and preach to anyone in any part of the world according to these principles. So I know it is difficult, but you have to tolerate like that. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was crying in front of Prabhupada when he was trying to handle the Bombay project. And he was crying, saying so many difficulties, so many problems, and Prabhupada started laughing. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, I am crying and you are laughing? Prabhupada said, you know, I am reminded on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was also crying. So you have attained the state of Arjuna. We can't take this as a standard counseling technique. But when your counselee or someone comes and cries, they're like, oh, Arjuna Das. All glories to your difficulty. So Prabhupada, he allowed people to experience the miseries of material existence and also made them realize that one has to tolerate. And that's a very important principle. Tolerance is essential. So when too much of service comes, sometimes we start telling Krishna, oh divine energy of Lord, Hare, oh all attractive Krishna, please engage him in your service. Please spare me from your service. Right? So, one of Prabhupada's disciples, Haridas Prabhu, he was telling that he was a pickpocket before. And after joining ISKCON, because while being pickpocket, he couldn't sleep at night. All night he would be active. You know, he was pickpocket and he was like a street thief and all that. So when he came in, he was wondering what service I will do at night. He would get up in the night and keep walking in the ashram and he would see everyone is, you know, sleeping and snoring. And when he tried to check if someone is at least awake so that I can talk, but there was no chance because once in the ashram someone is off means he's off. So nothing can wake him, you know. And only the prospect of writing Mahamantra or something will wake him up in the morning. So then he got up, he went to Prabhupada and said, and I'm trying to sleep, but when I try to sleep and I turn around and see everyone is sleeping, I'm not able to sleep. That is making me more frustrated. And I'm feeling like going back and, you know, going on the street. At least I find company there. Prabhupada said, don't worry, I'm also not sleeping at night. So you come to me. And I said, really, what should I do? You are translating. I don't know ABC of Sanskrit. What can I do? Prabhupada said, at night so many dogs are barking in Hare Krishna land. And those dogs' barking sound enters into the dictaphone when I'm translating. And it creates disturbance for the devotee transcribing next day. Because they hear Sri Bhagavan Vacha, boo, 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 boo. So all these sounds of these dogs and animals, they mix with my sound. And that fellow is having difficulty. So why don't you take a stick and keep chasing the dogs all night? So he said, ah, that's a good service. So Prabhupada gave him that service. That was the first service he did in ISKCON, chasing dogs with a stick in hand. So if someone thinks, my God, what is this? Is this some kind of service? Did I come to ISKCON for this? But because he took Prabhupada's smallest service which he gave seriously, he chased the dogs all night. And after a few days, after a few, you know, couple of years, he became purified and he became actively involved with Prabhupada. Prabhupada told him, you go to America and preach. And he said, what do you mean? I don't know anything. Prabhupada said, whatever you have heard in my lectures, you preach. There are no preachers now. That was the situation in ISKCON at that time. So he came to Prabhupada and said, I don't have passport. Prabhupada said, make your passport. He said, I can't make. Why? I don't know my father's name. Prabhupada said, bring the form. He brought the form and Prabhupada wrote, father's name, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And the other devotee said, Prabhupada, you can't write like this. You don't know who he is and you don't know what he's done before and you don't know what he's going to do in future. You're writing your name in legal document. Prabhupada took out his passport. In his passport, it was the father's name, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So, Haridas Prabhu even now shows all his, you know, license, driving license, ration card, all these documents, father's name. And he says, normally, in material standards, someone doesn't have father, it is considered unfortunate. But for me, it became the greatest fortune. I got Prabhupada as my father spiritually and even materially. And then afterwards he went on to, you know, make this Atma serial, which has been going on for so many years. And one of the greatest preaching which, you know, as far as media is concerned. And that's because Prabhupada tolerated him and tolerated his various idiosyncrasies and various habits in those formative years and gave him that opportunity to become purified. So therefore ISKCON is like a hospital where we have to admit various patients at various degrees of difficulty. There may be some, you know, simple cough and cold cases, and there may be some severe triple heart attack, near-death cases, or someone comes dead body only. So many of the hospitals don't take in emergency cases, right? Like our Dr. Ramapriya will testify that many hospitals, as soon as they see that it's a very, very dangerous situation, so they'll say no. So like that, here in ISKCON, we allow everyone to come attend programs, whether they are from this background, that they can come and chant and dance and participate and take prasadam. Recently in our prasadam hall in Chowpatty, we are trying to monitor the people who come because we don't want thieves to come and, you know, steal things. So therefore we kept a devotee outside to just take names of who is coming and what is the purpose of your coming before they enter prasadam hall. So some people were very much offended. Hey, what is this? ISKCON means Prabhupada built a house where whole world can live. Why is taking name? And especially after I am attending class and in the class they are saying, chant, dance and take prasad. And when you go for prasad, he is asking, what is your name? Why you have come? This is not good. So they were chastising. Each one would come and chastise that, you know, fellow was sitting outside. He was simply doing his service. And he was thinking, why I am getting this for the service I am doing? So I said, okay, simple solution I will give. When next person comes, don't ask his name. Ask his blood group. So then the next person came and said, what is your blood group, sir? He got bewildered. Hey, why you are asking my blood group? And he went 2 feet away. And then he thought that maybe I'll be fed and then they'll take my blood or something. And people stopped coming. So many times people feel that, okay, Hare Krishna temple means anything we can do, anytime we can come. And there are a whole group of people who just come mainly for stealing things. But Prabhupada created this ISKCON society so that people can come, become purified and learn how to practice Krishna consciousness in their own personal lives. And they can make their houses into nice temples. So therefore, we need to be tolerant and we need to execute various services in the mood that, yes, Krishna wants me to do this. It's not that whatever I desire, I will get immediately. And we see that even in Shastra, great personalities had to go through a lot of difficulty before the Lord reciprocated and as part of their expression of love towards the Lord. So therefore, Bharat Maharaj didn't want to be the king, did not want to go there, but still he accepted. And in fact, Jabali Rishi, one of the rishis there, he started preaching atheism to Lord Ram. He said, what is there in life after all? Today we are there, tomorrow we are finished. The kingdom of Ayodhya is available to you. Just enjoy.
make merry, enjoy life, you know. Go to Ayodhya, Ram, enjoy. This is the only chance. You are youthful, you are young, you are strong. Forget, future no one knows. And Lord Ram started chastising him. How the hell you speak like this? So, atheism was being spoken to God. What an irony. If you go on the net and you see the list of religions in the world, one of the religions is atheism. It is also listed as a religion. Like that. Someone asked Vidyanand Maharaj, does God commit suicide? This is the product of atheistic philosophy in the Western world. That people just think, they superimpose their own things on God. And think that he must also be going through the same kind of problem, managing this world. He must be getting frustrated. So therefore, when Lord Ram heard this, he chastised him. But in one sense, Jabali Rishi speaking of atheism was to inspire Lord Ram to go and become the king so that he can enjoy. So therefore, this is the ultimate example of Yukta Vairagya, of using anything in Lord's service, including atheism. How can atheism be used in Lord's service? So this is Jabali in Ramayana, is telling Lord Ram that after all there is no God, God doesn't exist. Ultimately, we are simply body, bhasmi, bhutasya, dehasya. You just go and enjoy. But what is the motive? That Lord should renounce the austerity of the forest and go and become the enjoyer in Ayodhya. So therefore, atheism can sometimes be devotional service if the motive is right. And Hiranyakashipu in 7th canto speaking perfect philosophy. If you take some sections of Hiranyakashipu's speech, it will appear like a Bhagavatam class. But devotees distribute Prahlad Maharaj teachings, not Hiranyakashipu's teachings. Because Hiranyakashipu's speaking of philosophy was with the intent of being the enjoyer. So therefore, motives are very important when we are practicing Krishna consciousness. And here, a very wonderful example is seen. And so Bharat Maharaj demonstrates these two qualities. Of accepting any burdensome responsibility on behalf of Lord, and secondly, if it has nothing to do with the Lord, he just rejects all of these activities as a big burden. All kinds of materialistic things he considers to be burdensome, like that. So, this is the first principle. Secondly, we have the example of Lakshman. So Bharat Maharaj demonstrates tolerance. So tolerance is very important. And second aspect is Lakshman. And what quality Lakshman demonstrates is service attitude. So very important, service attitude. Sarva priyakaratasya ramasya api sharirata Lakshmano lakshmi sampanna bahir prana ivapara. So Lord Ramachandra had such intense close association with Lakshman that there was only one person who constantly served Lord Ram. So Lakshman demonstrates that if you want to serve the Lord, no material situation can affect you. So sometimes we think that, okay, when situations become like this, then my service can be proper. If situation becomes like that, I cannot serve. So sometimes one may feel like that. But Ramayana is demonstrating that external situations are not within our control. And Lord is saying, even I am not within that control. I cannot control those situations. Even I go through so many difficulties and ups and downs. But the principle of service remains constant. And Lakshman demonstrates the soul whose eternal identity is to serve in all circumstances. And that service is not dependent on availability of comfort or discomfort. So therefore, that is service. So to have service attitude means many things. Service attitude means, number one, willingness to serve in any circumstance, whether in the palace or in the forest. So Lakshmano Lakshmi Sampanna Bahir Prana Ivapura Sarva Priyakaratasya Ramasya Api Sharirata. So Ramayana defines Lakshman. What does the name Lakshman mean? Is defined in Ramayana. that Ramasya api sharirata. Normally our body is very dear to us. Right? What happens in our body, we are too much affected. And if something happens to someone else, doesn't affect us so much. Right? So, therefore, when someone else is going through some difficulty, to experience that same pain as our pain, then that is, we have that kind of feeling. So for Lakshman, Lord Ram was like his own personal body, expanded in different form. So what Ram would go through, Lakshman would also feel. That is one of the qualities of a servant. And that's like very important to understand. So Srila Prabhupada started this life membership program, and he said one of the main purposes of life membership is to create facility for these Indian people to become connected with ISKCON. And you have to be in that mood to extend yourself, to preach. So many times devotees would go for 5, 6, 7 places in a day, and they would take prasad like anything. And the devotees would be fed like anything, and they would eat. And when they would come back to the temple, one day in Calcutta, one brahmachari started complaining, my stomach is paining, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, you ate 25 puris, so naturally your stomach will pain. He said, how do you know? Prabhupada, I was counting when you were eating. And another brahmachari started laughing, ha ha ha, he always eats like that. And Prabhupada said, you ate 16, I counted yours also. And Prabhupada said, we are providing this facility so that they can become connected. It is a service towards them. And then they may offer so many things, you should not think that whenever they offer, it is my service to take. So therefore, if you do not have that kind of attitude, then you won't be able to perform this service properly. So therefore, the whole idea is, we are trying to connect people to Krishna consciousness, and that is our service. So you understand the mood of this service and do whatever is required. So another time, Srila Prabhupada was in, I think he was traveling. This was in Los Angeles. He was taking a walk. And I think one of his servants was there with him, Nanda Kumar Prabhu. And he was following him. And he was much behind all the other devotees. And suddenly from behind, one big dog started coming and running towards him. And in America, dogs are pretty big, you know. They appear like mini horses, well fed. Like in New York, one of the professions is very well paid professions where you can make up to 2 to 3 lakh rupees a month is being a dog walker. Dog walker means you have around 10-15 dogs tied by chains together, and that one person takes the dogs in the evening for a walk together. So you appear that he's riding a chariot or something. But all dogs together. And you may think, oh, that's a very good one, anyone can do. But one of his skills is he makes all the dogs not fight amongst each other. So that's part of his skills. So this huge big dog came running. And he got scared and he started running towards Prabhupada. He turned towards the dog in the middle and tried to scare the dog. But the dog was so huge, he attacked. And he went to Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, said, what happened? The dog, Srila Prabhupada. And immediately Prabhupada turned around. He had a stick in his hand. He lifted the stick, crouched low, and Prabhupada just shouted, "Hunt!" And this American dog was not used to Calcutta style, you know. Immediately got, you know, he stopped on the tracks. And all the devotees thought, wow, this is amazing. Prabhupada is expert, even in dealing with dogs. And the dog went away. And then few months later, they were in Jaipur, and Nanda Kumar was in the kitchen cooking, and then there was a monkey which came in. And the monkey came in, you know, started showing faces. And he thought, I know the technique. I have seen Prabhupada deal with a dog. So he picked up that chapati rolling pin, and he showed this to the monkey. Monkey took up a piece of pot and tarred. And he came running to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what happened? I used the technique, it didn't work. Prabhupada said, you saw but you didn't learn. So Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that just externally you see something and you think, oh, I saw him doing this, I have learnt it. This is what I must do now. And if I just follow this formula, everything will work. No. Just like when we go for yatras, Radhanath Maharaj, you know, when he is giving a class, he says, so shall I continue? And everyone says, Hari Bol. So one of our other devotees also took a small group for a yatra. And he thought, after giving class for 2 hours, said, let me follow in footsteps of Mahajano, Yena Katha Sapanta. After 1.5-2 hours, it was already 10:30 time for breakfast. He said, shall I continue? He said, no! So he realized, my God. Service doesn't mean that just you see something and just follow and everything will just manifest. No. What may work for one will not work for another. Right? Just like you may see a whole piece of bricks and some black belt will come. And that brick will just break. And you think, hey, brick is breaking. So you think, it's very simple. So you also bring your brick. Hoo, ha, he said, hoo, ha, hoo, ha, hoo, hoo. And for 6 months you are in the hospital with a fractured hand. So externally when you see some karate champion doing hoo, ha, his power is not coming from hoo and ha. So you may think, I was sort of hoo, ha, hoo, finished. So externals do not actually give you the power to perform some service. So therefore, we have to appreciate that when you see Ram Darbar and deities of Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and Lakshman is standing next to Ram, and you may think, oh, how peaceful he is looking. How fortunate Lakshman was. Always stood next to Ram. But he had to pay big price to stand like that. And if you had taken interviews of Lakshman at different times, you would have realized it was not so easy just being there serving Ram in the forest. So the first thing is willingness to serve in any situation. That is the meaning of servant. Otherwise, someone is a master disguised as a servant. So it is a fraud case. So Prabhupada is merciful, he is accepting frauds in ISKCON. In one sense, that although we are not ready, still he is allowing us to put tilak, kantimala, wear clothes, and we say, I am Vaishnav. I am devotee. We call ourselves devotee. So it's a big deal actually. Someone told Prabhupada that this devotee is troubling me, Prabhupada, this devotee is troubling me, this devotee is creating this problem. Prabhupada said, wait, wait, wait. Who is devotee in ISKCON right now? I am the only devotee right now. All of you are simply practicing. So don't think you are devotee. So for our announcement sake, we may say, okay, we need 12 devotees volunteer, we need 14 devotee, we need devotee here, devotee. So, for the sake of convenience of language you use, but in one sense we are simply right now servant of the servant of the servant, trying to be their servant. Theoretically understood I have to be servant, but trying to overcome the tendency to be master, but still not given up that desire to be servant. So if we can't be defining like this every time we make an announcement, we want all those people who want to be the servant, who are trying to be still the master, but still attempt to be the servant, we want them to serve prasad. Well, oh my God. Who will serve prasad to whom? So therefore, in order to communicate things easily, we say, okay, we want devotee. But what is devotee means Lakshman's character you have to see. So as soon as Lakshman heard that Ram is going to the forest, so first of all, Lakshman got the opportunity to marry because of Ram. Lakshman didn't break the bow. Ram broke the bow. And Ram got Sita. So along with that, there were other fringe benefits. So along with that marriage, other marriages took place. So Bharat was called, you know, Lakshman was called, and all the marriages took place simply by Ram breaking the bow. So that time Lakshman must have felt, oh, Ram is such a nice brother. You know, because of him I got such a good, nice wife. Sukha sampati ghara aave. Kashta mite tanka. And then as soon as you know, the news came that Ram is about to go to the forest. Lakshman, oh my God, why did I become so close to this Ram? Maybe I should have become close to Bharat only. So he didn't go into hiding, waiting for Ram to go to the forest. Then after he goes, it is safe to come out. So he came and he told Lord Ram, I want to go with you. Deeptim agnim aranyamva yadi ramam praveshati praveshtum tatramam devi tvam purvam avadharaya. Ramayana describes, Lakshman is saying, even if there is a burning forest fire, I will go there first. Yadi ramam praveshati, if Ram is entering into that burning forest fire, I will enter before him. It is not that I will allow Ram to enter and I will call fire brigade, that my brother has gone, please help him. No. So this is Lakshman's character. He is telling Sita, you better don't come, you stay with Lord Ram, but I will go ahead and make sure that all difficulties are taken care. So Lakshman is called Lakshmano Lakshmi Sampanno. Ram lost the opulence of Ayodhya and Lakshman gained the opulence of Lord Ram's service. Lakshmi Sampanna means one who is filled with Lakshmi. Jo Ram ki seva ke Lakshmi se sampanna hai, wo hai Lakshman. That is the meaning of Lakshman. One who is addicted to the service of Lord Ram. Addict cannot give up the source of his intoxication in any circumstance. Right? If you take an addict and say that, in this place we don't get cigarettes, he will go and create a factory there. Because he's so addicted, he cannot give it up. Like that. I told you the story of how I brought one of my friends who was an addict, alcohol addict, to one of our programs. Because I felt if he becomes devotee, everyone will become devotee. The whole hostel will become devotee. So I went and told him that I want to invite you to the program of Devamrita Prabhu. And the first question he said was, what do they do there? I said, Bhagavad Gita. He told me, are you drunk? You are calling me to a program of Bhagavad Gita. Do you know who I am? I am one of the famous drunkards here in the hostel. I said, no, but still I want you to come. So he actually came to the program carrying liquor bottle with him. And the first thing he said was that I cannot go anywhere without this bottle. Wherever I go, bottle goes. So that is the symptom of an addict. So I told him, at least don't take the bottle inside. Leave it outside. And the first question he said was, are you sure the Hare Krishnas won't take it? And they won't drink it? And finish it off? When I am not seeing? Because a person thinks from his own angle. So I said, come on, they don't drink even tea and coffee. So really, are you sure? Yeah, sure. So from his point of view, he could not think. So therefore, an addict cannot give up. So Lakshman was addicted to Ram's service. And he could not think of giving up the service in any circumstance. So therefore, Lakshmi Sampanna means one who gets more and more intoxicated by having more service. So he was thinking, at least in Ayodhya there are so many others doing so many services, but in the forest I will get exclusive opportunity for service. I will get so much opportunity for service. That is called service attitude. That a person feels happy serving in any circumstance, number one. And number two, he is willing to perform any kind of service for the pleasure of his master. Not that he has certain restrictions on only these services I can do or only those services I can do. So he is willing to accept any kind of service. So that's what he told Lord Ram. And so in the forest, Lakshman was responsible for clearing the path, getting fruits, making nice arrangements of cottages, and protecting from all attacks of demons, and making sure that Sita Devi is comfortable. And in the forest, the interesting thing is, Ram and Sita were together, and Lakshman was without his wife. He was also newly wedded. So many times when we are serving, we are always so self-conscious, we are thinking, how I am not receiving certain facility. You know? So Lakshman was not serving Ram constantly thinking, oh, he's so happy with his wife. Where is my wife? Why I have not brought her with me? So he was not doing his service in a morose mood, with his, you know, whole face fallen. And Ram had to spend hours with him trying to cheer him up. Lakshman, come on, what happened? Oh, I am remembering my wife, you know. I am thinking when I can bring her also. Can I bring her also? What do you think? Already 7 years have passed. And by seeing your pastimes, I am reminded of my pastimes. So my dear Lord, if you give permission, I will have a separate kutir, little distance away. But maybe I can also bring her. So, we have so many personal considerations. So one of the another quality of service attitude is one has no personal considerations. One is not self-conscious, thinking of what I am receiving or what I should be having. This is focused service on behalf of Lakshman. You can see that. Not ordinary, we cannot kind of imitate this, but we should know at least what exactly is passing marks and how we are filled. And therefore we should not think that we are so elevated. All these pastimes are very humbling, basically. So it is good to hear in the morning, so that at least that day we remain a little humble. And then someone comes and says, oh Prabhu, you are such a great devotee. That's actually correct, you know. We start believing people when they say, you are a great devotee, you have done so much service. Kitni seva karte? kitni, batai jara. बोले आप तो सेवा के मूर्तिमान स्वरूप है. बिल्कुल सही. और क्या, आपके जैसा तो कोई सेवा ही नहीं कर सकता. कितना वेद वाक्य कह रहा है. देखो यार, रिकॉर्डिंग कर लो इनका. लोग समझते नहीं इस बात को. व्हाट सर्विस एटीट्यूड वी हैव. 108 पर्सनल कंसिडरेशन वी हैव एंड दैट वी सेंड टू द मास्टर. ओके, इफ दीज कंडीशन आर फुलफिल्ड, देन I will begin my service. So here, Lakshman has no personal considerations. Especially, we get so much affected by others. Someone has some facility we don't have, that keeps irritating us all through the time. All day and night we are irritated. Why he is having that? I am not having. Even during Hare Krishna, oh divine energy of the Lord, Hare. Why he is having that? Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Why you are not giving me that facility? So Lakshman was not at all disturbed, because servant means no personal consideration. So right now, therefore I am saying fraud, because we are serving, but we are actually, the focus of our attention and mind is our own selves. And the object of our service is in the background. Whereas service means exactly opposite, the object of service must be in the foreground and we should be in the background. So therefore Lakshman always put Lord Ram in front. So another feature of service is that one has to be extremely hard working. A servant is very hard working. And Lakshman was extremely hard working day and night. And for 14 years, all through that, Lakshman did not sleep at all. Day and night. So when I say sleep at all, you should not think that, okay, he would not sleep at night, maybe night shift he did. So daytime he was sleeping for few hours. No. Not sleep in day, not sleep in night. 14 years he didn't sleep. Still when he came back to Ayodhya he was sane. 14 years. So, of course, we cannot even imitate that. And Prabhupada made a statement, if you sleep too much, you become lazy. If you sleep too little, you become crazy. So we can't imitate that. But the idea is that when we have a little inconvenience, you know, sleep is lost a little bit, immediately we calculate. Make a note that 1 hour I gave to Krishna. Krishna, I gave you 1 hour extra, okay? Hare Krishna. Make sure that I get it back. So we have everything calculated. So for 14 years, Lakshman did not sleep. And he was willing to perform, and it was not that, not like our, you know, night watchmen, many of our in our temple. We had a security guard, and Maharaj told me, you get one gunman. So we got a gunman. And he was looking very ferocious, gunman, the big mustache and everything. Typical stereotype image of gunman you have, he was like that. So I thought, this is good. He looks really very authentic. So only thing was, till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, he was a gunman. And then after that, his gun would be separate, man would be separate. And he would be lying on the, you know, under the bench sleeping. And some of our devotees are also very eager to perform certain services. Some devotees have speciality for some services. Whether you tell them or not, they will do that. Even if you don't tell them, they will always do. Like one devotee was there, in the middle of the night he would keep a torch with him, and while sleeping he'll keep switching on and off, and keep rotating that all over the temple hall. Said, what are you doing? I'm just checking out if everything is okay or not. Nobody has told him, but he's a self-appointed watchman. And he'll get up in the night, go to the toilet, and suddenly he'll put his ear, says, I can hear something. What? You know, something is there. Nothing is there. But he's so much eager to catch someone or trap someone. And the day he would catch a thief or something, mean that was like his festival. So he went to this watchman at the night and stole his gun when he was sleeping. And the watchman got up, and every brahmachari was coming, mera banduk de do. Give my gun back, otherwise I'll lose my job. I said, where did you get your gun from? I stole it from Assam and brought. So please, I need it back. So then after going through so many hours, then finally we told this devotee, give his gun back, Baba. And after that we never kept gunman. We thought he's more dangerous. Some you know, gunman who sleeps is more dangerous than someone who is just having a stick. Because thief can come and peacefully do whatever he wants with his gun. So Lakshman, he was taking charge of protecting Lord Ram, but not that his quality of service was affected, because he could not get some sleep, or he could not get this or get that. He was always alert, performing his service at all times. And on top of that, in spite of going through all of these difficult situations, Lord Ram would appreciate him, but then other times he had to go through tough times also. And just like Surpanaka came, and she was attracted towards Lord Ram, and Lord Ram said that, you are the most beautiful lady in the whole creation. In fact, I am already having a wife, Sita, you know, you go to my brother Lakshman, he is eligible bachelor. His wife is there back in the city, so you can go to him. So Surpanaka went. And Lakshman said, you have two choices, either to become queen or to become Dasi. What do you want to become, Rani or Dasi? She said, I want to become Rani. So then you go to Ram only, I am Das. If you marry me, you will become Dasi. And for someone so beautiful like you, you don't deserve to be Dasi, come on. You deserve to be Rani. And she took him very seriously, went to Ram again. Ram sent her back to Lakshman, and he sent her back to Ram. And this was like ping pong going on. And she realized that they are playing games and the responsible person is Sita. So she went to attack. And Lord Ram told Lakshman that, you know, enough of all this, perform your surgery. So Lakshman was like the ENT surgeon. He took his sword, slashed off her nose. And therefore, servant means willing to perform any service instantly. Eager to perform service immediately at this master's beck and call. So Lakshman was very, very surrendered and submissive. He was very submissive and did all kinds of difficult services. And then, in response for this, we can see that he had to go through a lot of difficulties also. And that's the greatest quality of Lakshman. That another quality of servant means that he has so much affection and love for his master that even though there are difficult times, he doesn't give up. So here, Sita Devi was in the forest, and then Marij comes, and Marij is attacked by Lord Ram. And you know, when he got that arrow, Marij started crying out, "Hey Lakshman, hey Sita! Lakshman, Sita!" And Sita said to Lakshman, you go and, you know, see what's happening. Ram is in difficulty. Lakshman said, nothing has happened. These are our demon friends, you know. We know them very well. We are in this market for a long time. Just like the policemen, they always know who the thieves are. They know each other very well. So even though we are going by, we don't know who is thief, who is police and all, but in their circuit they know. So Ram and Lakshman, they have been constantly dealing with demons. Lakshman is telling Sita, this fellow, we hit him long time back when we were in our Guru's ashram, and that time we sent him away 800 miles. He's the same fellow now. Don't worry. Nothing has happened. No, you must go. He said, I am telling you, nothing has happened to Ram. We know these demons. These are demons crying. This is not Ram's voice. Sita said, I am telling you, you must go. He said, I am telling you, this is just a demon. And Sita said, I know why you are telling me this. Because you want to enjoy with me. That is your only desire. Lakshman, you cheat. The only reason you have come to the forest is simply so that one day you can find me alone and Ram can be killed and then you can have me all for yourself to enjoy. That is the only motive why you have come to the forest, is to enjoy with me. There is no other motive. All these other 13 years of service you have done is simply a show. You can imagine. If you or me are at the receiving end of this kind of sweet words, what we will do? So Lakshman is, you know, Sheshnag in one sense. So he didn't show that form at that point. He didn't flare up. So Lakshman heard this and it shattered his heart. And he said that, well, if that is the case, then I have to go. So you can imagine that someone attacks the integrity so much. So Lakshman didn't just start shouting at Sita, what do you know? You are telling me like this, shut up. You take care of your own self. I am getting out of this place. Even in that situation, he made that Lakshman Rekha. He did not forget his service to Lord Ram. You know? He didn't lose his temper and call some other demon and said, just show her who she is. He just made that Lakshman Rekha and still cared to protect her. So when someone is in difficulty, he doesn't feel that, you know, I must perform this service. So Sita has just insulted him, but still he is performing that service of making Lakshman Rekha and saying, my dear lady, I know that this is, Ram is safe, but still since you are insisting, I am going. And he made the Lakshman Rekha. And it was a bona fide Rekha. It worked. It was not that he just showed something and went. And Ravan came and kidnapped. And when he went, the first thing Ram said, why did you come here? Why did you come here? I told you to stay there and perform service. Why did you leave your service? He said, hey, come on. You husband and wife, sort it out amongst yourself. You brought me all the way from Ayodhya just to trouble me like this. This is too much. I am going back to Ayodhya. I'll send Bharat as the next batch. Let's make a schedule, Ram. Let's have different people coming in different schedules. This is too much. I'll call Shatrughna for some time, Bharat for some time. Spare me. I need a break. I need a vacation. So Ram chastised him, and when they went back, they found Sita is not there. The first thing Ram said, Sita is missing. Sita has been kidnapped. You are responsible. The whole responsibility of Sita's kidnapping is yours. You. Because you did not perform your service properly. So, Lakshman just took that also. And you can imagine that Sita Devi questioned his integrity. Ram questioned his competence. So both competence and integrity are questioned. What else is remaining in life? So Lakshman said, where is the nearest tree? And where is the rope? My dear Lord, I want to go back to the spiritual world. What else remains? If your competence and integrity both are questioned, and you are being proved to be useless, you are a fool. So Lakshman, when he was serving Sita Devi, when the monkeys find these different jewels and they brought these jewels and show it to Lord Ram. So Lord Ram is so excited after Sita is kidnapped. He shows Lakshman, You recognize these jewels, these earrings and these necklace and bangles. And Lakshman says, Naham janami keyure, naham janami kundale, nupureva vijanami, sita pada bhavandanat. That my dear Lord, I have never looked upon Sita Devi beyond her feet. All these years I have been serving, Lakshman's purity is of such high nature that he has never taken darshan of Sita Devi beyond her feet. What to speak of seeing her earrings or her bangles or her necklace or anything. Nothing he has seen. And in spite of doing such high quality pure service, Sita Devi is attacking. And I question your integrity. So you can imagine that Lakshman is willing to go through all kinds of accusations. And still he assists Lord Ram. It is not that from that point onwards, Lakshman was just trailing behind 1 kilometer. And Ram is ahead, and Ram has to search for Sita and Lakshman both. But I am searching for there. Where? Lakshman, where are you? Come on man, come with me. I don't know what you will speak next, so you better go ahead. I will come behind. So he was still coming, and he was still ahead, and still searching for Sita with full enthusiasm, and doing all kinds of services to assist. And therefore, finally, in that campaign against Ravana, they were also successful. And therefore, when you ever take darshan of Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman together, so you must understand that they had to go through a lot together to stay like that. So when some pujari is offering aarti and there is a sweet smile on their face, everything appears blissful and you just are looking for prasad which comes after that. But for all the four of them to stay like that in that relationship meant a lot. So therefore, a servant is willing to go through difficulties. So love is defined as where there is every reason for a relationship to be broken, still that relationship is not broken. That is love, according to Rupa Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's why we find that it's so difficult to have service based on genuine love. But somehow Prabhupada is accommodating all of us at whatever stage we are, and allowing us to connect with really exalted personalities in history, although we may not have that qualification. So we are giving us an opportunity and allowing us to speak about these personalities also, although we don't have that qualification to speak. But still we are getting that opportunity so that we can be purified. And also Shatrughna, Gachatam Matulakalam Bharatena Tadanaga, Shatrughno Nitya Shatrughna Nita Priti Puraskrita. So Bharat represents tolerance, Lakshman represents service attitude, and Shatrughna represents humility. Shatrughna means one who kills his enemy. One who kills his enemy. So which enemy Shatrughna killed? In Ramayana you hear Shatrughna killed only one enemy, Lavanasur. Now someone for killing only one demon is called Shatrughna is too much. Right? If someone says, he's a software engineer. Right? What is his career record? He worked in TCS for one day. That was his total career record. So you can't call him a software engineer because he worked for one day. Right? So just for killing one demon, he's called Shatrughna. Ye Shatrughna hai. Kitne rakshasa mara? Ek. Lavanasur. Wo bhi ek sarwala. So at least Ram killed 10-headed, you know, Ravana. So, what Shatru is being referred to? The Shatru of false ego. Shatrughna means one who conquered over his false ego and surrendered himself as a servant of Bharat, who was a servant of Ram. So therefore, Shatrughna is an epitome of being the servant of the servant. He didn't even have that luxury of directly being Ram's associate. He was satisfied being the associate of Bharat. Gachatam Matulakulam. So after the Swayamvar Matulakulam, Bharat was going to his mama's house, to his uncle's house. So he just took Shatrughna with him. He just told Shatrughna, we are going, come with me. So he didn't ask Shatrughna's consent. He didn't ask whether you want to come or not. No. Why? Because he was so confident of his relationship of master and servant that he took his compliance for granted. And therefore, such a person can only behave like this when he is free from false ego. So the word says, Shatrughna Nitya Shatrughna Nitaha Preeti Puraskrita. Preeti Puraskrita means one who has offered his life as a gift of love to Bharat. Preeti Puraskrita means object. Like this object, if I take, pick up like this and keep it here, it will remain there. If I pick up from here and keep it here, it will remain here. So, it will not jump from here. It will stay where it is. So that is the characteristic of an object. A human being, you tell him to stay here, he'll be there. Like typically you tell someone, thoda seva karna, bola ha ha. And you come after half an hour, he's not there. Kahan gaya? Oh, main wahan seva kar raha tha. वहां क्यों चले गए वहां किसी ने बुलाया एंड यू गो देयर आफ्टर हाफ एन आवर इज नॉट देयर ऑल्सो वेर इज ही स्लीपिंग वो किसने बुलाया निद्रा देवी सो यू जस्ट गो जंप्स हियर एंड देयर यू कैन फाइंड हिम एनीवेयर सो वेर एज शत्रुघ्न मीन्स वेर एवर भरत महाराज कॉल्ड ही जस्ट वेंट विदाउट प्रोटेस्टिंग नीतः प्रीति पुरस्कृत दैट इज कॉल्ड वेर ही इज इनवोक्ड बाय लव offered himself completely. So that is humility on behalf of a devotee like that. So these are very nice important principles which we can hear from Ramayana, and as this verse says, Purusho Ramacharitam Shravanair Upadharayan Anshramsya Paro Rajan Karma Bandhir Vimuchyate. By hearing from Ramayana, we will become free from the principle of envy, because envy arises because of desire to be master. And when you hear about qualities of ideal servants, Bharat having the servant's quality of being tolerant, Lakshman having the servant's quality of having service attitude, and Shatrughna having the servant's quality of having humility, then one also aspires to have these qualities genuinely, and then gradually one becomes purified of all these desires, and then ultimately one can become qualified to be a proper servant in proper consciousness like that. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Anyone has any questions?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Guruji, for a wonderful class. As you mentioned in your class that services are there to make us humble, but the more person does services, like in proper times we have so many examples where devotees did a lot of services and they became proud. So what is the element while doing services which while performing that service person remains throughout humble? The pride doesn't enter in there.
First thing is that, you know, Janayas Prabhu made a nice point that at least we have changed the area of our pride. That previously we were proud in material things, right? Outside people are proud that I can smoke one packet cigarette, I can smoke 25 cigarettes, I can drink one full bottle in 2 hours. And they challenge each other like that also. So that is like low class kind of pride. Or I can make more money than you. I can achieve this position better than you. So if from that point if someone comes to the stage of saying that I can distribute 50 Bhagavad Gitas, I can distribute 150 Bhagavad Gitas. So at least his area of pride is coming to devotional service. So that is also a good thing. Whatever you want to do, do within association of devotees. Right? That doesn't mean you do all sinful activities, but what I am saying is that there is opportunity to be purified. There is opportunity to be purified. So, one cannot say that, you know, first I'll become humble, then I'll come to the temple. Any people, you give them mala, they'll chant, bolo, nahi, hum shuddh nahi hai. Bolo, shuddh nahi, isliye to karo. Bolo, nahi nahi, jab shuddh ho jayenge, tab mala lenge. So it's like saying, bolo, sabun lo, nahi nahi, ganda ho jayega. Sabun ganda ho jayega. Bolo, sabun kaise ganda hoga? Snan karo, nahi, bathroom ganda ho jayega. So therefore, at least we have been given that opportunity. You chant and be with devotees, and then you can be proud that, okay, I did this, I did that. We cannot avoid doing because we are conditioned. So all these anarthas are like cough. If the cough is there, it will come. For someone who is coughing, if you are getting disturbed, you can't go and choke his mouth. Like, khasa mat chup. You are disturbing. You can't take a, you know, big cotton ball and put in his mouth. Or you can't just hold him like that. If someone is coughing in a lecture, you can't sit behind him and hold him like that. And he's wondering, ye kya kar raha hai? Bole, khasta hai, isliye baitha hu aise. That's not allowed. You can't do it. You have to tolerate. Or he goes somewhere else. So as long as that sensation is there, it will come out. So when that anger and pride is there, you cannot artificially stop it. By hearing Lakshman and Bharat and all, you may think, I have to become Lakshman. I have to become like Bharat. Why I didn't hear Ramayana before? Why I am like that? And you may get inspired. That's what Bhagavatam one verse says, that Bhagavatam is so inspiring, it makes you inspired at least during the class. That's the verse which says. At least it gives us that much inspiration for the time till the lecture is going on. You know? So many times on Raghunath Das Goswami disappearance day, when people are hearing his austerities of buttermilk once in 3 days and 4 days, and they think, oh my God, why I am so servant of my senses? I must do this. And as soon as they come out of the class, enter Prasadam Hall, they start thinking, Govardhan Leela. You know? Govardhan Leela is also nice Leela, you know. Raghunath Das Goswami is okay, but here is Aniyor, Aniyor. That is also bona fide. So you start adjusting. So it's not that overnight it will happen. We have to be honest at what level we are, and we can't just artificially keep pushing beyond our capacity like that. So as far as your question of pride is concerned, the realization is that if you just stay with devotees, one of the services devotees will also do without telling them is make you humble. Right? You must have already experienced that in the association. And if they want to make you more humble, they'll make you in charge of something. So outside people can never understand what it means, you know, to be in charge in ISKCON. In charge means he has to be the humblest servant of the servant of the servant. Right? So therefore, Radheshyam Prabhu is taking so much of responsibility, hearing so many difficulties, devotees' problems, sorting out this, sorting out that. It's a very thankless job. To be the president is one of the most thankless jobs you can imagine in ISKCON. You know, Chandramouli Maharaj always tells this story that there was a Mauni Baba who did Maunvrat for 12 years. And after 12 years, someone came and whispered something in his ears. And as soon as he whispered, he said, no! He shouted. His Maunvrat was broken. Said, what did he whisper? Said, do you want to become temple president in ISKCON? No! He just shouted, top of his voice. It's Chandramouli Maharaj, you know, he has some of his nice stories. So he told one more story. There was one donkey, which was movement of walking like this with his neck. Ding, ding, ding. He would walk like that. And someone came and whispered something in his ear, and immediately the donkey started going, So what did they whisper in his ear? Do you want to become president in ISKCON? And immediately. So it's very difficult. So many people from outside who have MBA degrees and they are managing big companies and all, they come. Outside in their company, they are managing 100 people, 200, 500, 1000 people. And they just give a call. Ho jayega na? Bola, ha, yes sir, ho jayega. And here they come. Prabhu, ye karenge kya? Kyon karu? Matlab, I am supposed to be in charge, you are supposed to do it. So kya hua? Abhi mera japa nahi hua hai. Rounds pura ho jayega, tab dekhenge. And by the way, who are you? You don't know me? After all, you are Das Anu Das Anu Das. Whoever you may be, okay? By the way, if you are in charge, you start the service. Show by example. The Lord showed by example. Take the palta in your hand. So this is position. So then he realizes, the people come to him, aapka iskon mein thoda mushkil hai. I don't know why Vaishnavas behave like this. But they are on Vaishnavas, they are trying to be Vaishnavas. So it's a voluntary organization, it's not very easy. Right? So therefore, before you start saying that, oh, management is so difficult, management is doing like this, manager doing like that. So when you try to, you know, organize and do things, then you'll realize how difficult. You have to literally do so many sashtang dandas to so many people. And then things can happen. Like yesterday I gave the example that, you know, that even Krishna, he has his limits to which he can try to control people's attitudes. So maximum you can show people the way and then you leave them. Any other question? Are you in charge of anything? You are in charge of what? What are you in charge of?
Some service invoice.
Oh, what service?
Some management.
Oh, okay, okay. So you have to hear so many voices. So definitely you have that experience. So don't worry. Humility is not a particular, you know, many people think it's a state which will manifest one day. That today I'm proud and get up in the morning and suddenly ting. Like some glow comes and I say, oh, I become humble. You know, it's not like you had 102 fever at night, you took a crocin and get up in the morning, I'm normal, I'm feeling good. So humility is not like that, it is a process. It's a continuous process. So Krishna will take care of that gradually. And when Krishna really, when you hear lecture on humility, you feel I must become humble. Right? But it's not painful. But when Krishna arranges situation, then even though lecture is going on Raslila, but you're so much painful inside when you're thinking about your own situation of that surgery, you know, the wounds of surgery are, it takes time. Few days after surgery, it causes a lot of pain. But then there is healing also after that. So when you go through that surgery, then you should know that it is part of healing process. Right? When a surgeon performs surgery, patient doesn't sue the, doesn't call police that I've been attacked with weapons. Nakapoj daku. Operation theater mein akraman kiye mujhpe. Hatyakand. So it is part of the healing process. Like that. So Krishna also will do that surgery. And when he performs that surgery, it is painful for all of us. But because he does that, so then we are purified like that. Okay? Yeah.
Like you are telling that Bharat took Shatrughna and to his uncle's place. So Shatrughna didn't ask that where we should go or like that. So if like our authority tells that we have to go somewhere and we didn't ask that where we have to go, what should we take? So that will create more disservice than later. So how should we deal? Like we should ask something.
Should we ask or not ask? Authority says we have to go to Chandraloka, okay? Are you ready? So, of course, as I said, there are two sides that one party is like Shatrughna and other party also has to be like Bharat. And one party is like Lakshman, other party is like Ram. So it's both mutual. But these are principles to be applied And how you have to apply is, you have to use your intelligence. Shastric principles are like eternal truths. They are concentrated essence. And from that, you take small particle and apply it in your own life according to whatever is required. So Krishna gives you the intelligence from within. In that situation, how to apply. So therefore, one should not think that because Shatrughna did like that, so I should also do like that. Like Prabhupada makes a statement, both blind following and absurd inquiry and blind following, both are condemned. Absurd inquiry and blind following. So one should not put Shatrughna's case in the category of blind following, but because he had a certain ongoing relationship and he had that faith and trust, so he knew that what Bharat Maharaj was doing was proper. So it was not like, it was the first time Bharat was dealing with him. And so he just did it. Also, in Vedic times, people had consistent behavior and they were more consistent in their dealings and the way they approached different situations at different times. There was a certain kind of consistency. So it was easier to put faith also. But Kali Yuga is like a crazy Yuga, you know. Crazy Yuga, it's very difficult to maintain one's sanity in this Yuga. And therefore there are all kinds of difficulties and problems which you are facing, which we never faced before. Right? There was no concept of loneliness in Satyuga. Sages in the forest didn't complain, I'm feeling lonely. I'm all alone in the forest. There was no cases of depression among sages. You didn't find sages after doing 20,000 years of tapasya suddenly feeling depressed. Or you didn't find any suicide cases amongst sages hanging from the tree with their beard, you know, shaking. Like, kya ho gaya? Bechara. Pareshan ho gaya. Akela tapasya karke thak gaye. Bhagwan ke paas chale gaye. Before time. So all this depression, suicide, this, that, all kinds of disorders, it's all special Kali Yuga benefits. It's not never found in the previous Yugas. They had a different system. Now we do anulom, vilom and all, little bit breathing in, breathing out. That sages would take in breath means 10,000 years he would hold it. First breathe he would take in, and then hold it for 10,000 years. And then nobody could disturb him also. Nobody could, there was no problem of sense control and all that. Because eyes are closed, everything is closed. People can come and do anything they want, he's not concerned. So then next 10,000 years he'll be exhaling. So can you imagine what scale, 10,000 years. You have not even finished 20, 25, 30 years here, most of you. And already we are fed up with life. The bhautik jagat, bhautik sarir. Kab bhagwat dham jayenge? 20, 30 years of Kali Yuga is like hot pizza oven. It's giving us so much of heat, we want to get out. So therefore Kali is called Kam Lati Dadati Krishna Iti Kali. That which gives Krishna very easily is Kali. So what previous sages could not get after performing 60,000, 70,000 years austerity, finally they would go to Vaikuntha. And here we perform bhakti for 20 years. You know, by the time we come to movement, we are 20 only. 18, 20. And then we practice another 20, 30 years. And 20, 30, 40 years you practice and you overtake them beyond Vaikuntha and go to Golok, to spiritual world. Radha and Krishna. Great sages who have never performed any sin and never heard of Radha and Krishna. They only heard maximum Narayan, Vaikuntha. So can you imagine that in a campus interview, companies are coming and recruiting only those who have failed. We don't want toppers. Only those who have failed, please come. Those with 3 KTs minimum, we are recruiting. All KTs come forward. So Lord Chaitanya's movement is, Lord Chaitanya is doing that. He is not going and recruiting in Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. See, all the failures come together. Kali Yuga, everyone is failure. This is like a full summer batch, KT batch. So all the spiritual failures are here in Kali Yuga. And Lord Chaitanya is bypassing all the previous. The other sages, demigods are getting tremendous complex. Hey, what is this? For performing 50,000 years of austerity, but still I am not getting this. And this fellow, you know, just smoking and drinking and everything for few years till now, and suddenly from gold flake to golden avatar. What is this? This is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Therefore Kaviraj Goswami says, don't try to use your logic in understanding Lord Chaitanya. He is doing what he is doing. Don't ask, why are you giving me so much mercy? You know, some people at prasadam counter, they ask too many questions. Oh, why so much you are giving? What is there in this? Why are you doing it? Okay, you don't take, go. Get someone who will ask less question. Like in New York Rath Yatra, when you serve prasad, you know, American people, they ask 108 questions before they take anything. Are nuts in this? Is it made in, what is it made in? How it was made? Who made? When it was made? Hundreds of questions. If you don't answer, they'll feel offended. They can sue you also. And they'll come in their bike. In prasadam line, people are standing with bike and with cycle and someone with a dog also. And dog will also come and see in the counter, is something available for me? So you don't feel like, you know, serving, because they are asking so many questions. First of all, we are getting prasad, and they are asking 100 questions, whether it is safe, it is healthy, it is this, it is that. So Lord Chaitanya is coming and giving mercy, just take it. So because it is so easily available, you should not think, maybe it's not the original product. How can we get such highest mercy so easily? So therefore Srila Prabhupada has made that available. And by His kind mercy, we are getting this opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness. And therefore, in Kali Yuga, we have to adjust the principles according to the local situation. So therefore, both blind following and absurd inquiries are not encouraged. At the same time, you can't think that this is Kali Yuga, you know. That Shastra was from Ramayana's Treta Yuga Shastra. So at the end of Treta Yuga, that ends. Gita was Dwapara Yuga Shastra. So at the end of Dwapara Yuga, finished. Srimad Bhagavatam was at the dawn of Kali Yuga. So what you will follow? Times of India. What Shastra is available now? So you have to follow those principles only, but you have to adjust according to time, place and circumstances. Like I was telling the story other day, our Vishakha Mataji was photographer. So Rameshwar Maharaj had told her, take close-up of Prabhupada for the Bhagavatam pictures, for printing in the Bhagavatam, BBD. So I want Prabhupada's picture with eyes open while he is singing Radha Madhava. So all the sannyasis were sitting in front in LA, and you know, the ladies were backside, and so she came in the front, because the instruction was given with a camera and everything, and came right in front of the sannyasis. And this sannyasi was sitting in front row, he was sitting, he was thinking, who's this? And why is she sitting right here in front of sannyasi? He was sitting with a danda and everything. So she came and sat right there and started, you know, taking her camera and adjusting on Prabhupada's face. And she was waiting for Prabhupada to open his eyes. So Prabhupada was in a trance singing Radha Madhava. So it went for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And Prabhupada didn't open his eyes only. So she was still waiting with camera ready and not clicking also. And for this sannyasi, it was becoming too impatient. That why is she sitting here? Why is she sitting here? It is not her position. And what everyone will think, that right in front of me, lady is sitting. And beyond a certain limit, it became difficult to tolerate. So he just took his danda and ting, gave one, you know, like a slight hit from the side to kind of tell her to move. Enough, Your time is over. And as the danda came down, Prabhupada's eyes opened. And Prabhupada saw that sannyasi is kind of indicating to this doom. And Prabhupada's eyes, when it opened, it just went on growing bigger. And Prabhupada didn't speak, he was still chanting, but looking at the sannyasi like about to burn him to ashes. And the sannyasi was started shivering, his danda started trembling in his hand. And the amazing thing is, in the whole room, everyone had his eyes closed and Gopi Jana, but nobody watched this except the three. Prabhupada, this lady, Vishakha Mataji, and that sannyasi. And then Prabhupada just kept looking at him till he finished Jayam Vishnupada, he was still looking. And he was thinking, now he's going to blast me or something, but mercifully Prabhupada didn't mention anything in the class. Nor did he mention anything later. He just forgot the whole incident. And the lady also didn't say anything. So, this was like a very amazing experience where, you know, one just feels that because I'm in a certain position or in a certain situation, I can take liberty. But Prabhupada did not appreciate that transgression of basic human dealings. So Prabhupada did not appreciate that, and immediately he gave that warning that, okay, you have to be respectful, whatever may be. So although he was a sannyasi, Prabhupada gave that very stern look, which gave him the message that I cannot think that I can act whimsically just because I'm a sannyasi or something. So at all times we have to be careful in our different activities which we do. And we may make mistakes. So one of the chief lessons from Ramayana is that we are performing service, but when we are also performing service, we should also be having other qualities like forgiveness and tolerance and humility and the desire to maintain the relationship and not the desire to break the relationship at the first opportunity. So that's the sum and substance of some of these great personalities from Ramayana, and we have a long way to go, but still somehow Srila Prabhupada has given us that opportunity. So without Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we could not have any of these facilities. Only by Srila Prabhupada's mercy that we have come to know about so much of our own heritage and our own culture. All of these texts remain mystery to people. You know, who knows what does Lakshman mean and what does, you know, Bharat mean, and for them it's just like once in a year they go to some Ram Leela, watch some entertainment and they just go. But it becomes even more relevant when devotees are practicing Krishna consciousness. Then the whole message of Ramayana becomes extremely relevant. So I'm very, very grateful to all of you for practicing Krishna consciousness so wonderfully. And also I appreciate the efforts of all the committee members who are participating in this new temple project. And Sri Guru Charan Prabhu and Shwetadeep Prabhu and the team of fundraisers are doing an excellent job. And Ram Nitya Prabhu and others were helping with the construction, Vijayadeva Prabhu and others. And Radhesham Prabhu for inspiring, organizing, you know, managing and checking all the different activities which are happening in this temple. Very, very thankless, but very important task. And I pray to Sri Sri Radha Kunj Bihari, Radha Gopinath, Srila Prabhupada that they give their unlimited mercy and strength to perform this service to inspire and maintain the devotional service of all the devotees here in Pune. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki tai gau premanandi. So in the evening we plan to begin at 6 o'clock. So please try to come early. One intriguing thing in ISKCON is when you announce katha timing, then people come little 1 hour late. And when you announce prasadam timing, they come 1 hour early. You know, when you're doing Prabhupada Disappearance Day festival, prasadam, we announce 2 o'clock. From 1 o'clock, line is ready. And we say, katha, 7 o'clock. Then people start coming 8 o'clock. like that. So please try to come at 6, and we can start so that there is other programs also in the middle with other devotees speaking about the new temple and everything. Thank you.
Krishna.